right. Good morning, everyone. Our next presenter in the Delaware room is Luxfer Holdings. Luxfer is a highly engineered advanced materials company serving a range of markets, including transportation, defense, emergency response, and healthcare. With us today are Alok Maskara, CEO, and Doug Fox, Director of Investor Relations. With that, I will turn over to Alok.
Great. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Good to see some familiar faces and some new faces. I'll present for probably about 15, 20 minutes, so we have enough time for questions. As John said, I'm Alok Maskara. I'm the CEO of Luxfer. I've been in the role more than a year now, so this will probably be my first conference after I've been in role for more than a year. So I actually might even have some numbers to show you today instead of just bullets and PowerPoint. To start out, just for the introductions, as he mentioned, you know, Luxfer, oops, can you flip the screen on to... Okay, Luxfer, advanced material company. The reason we say highly engineered is to differentiate us away from the commodity-type advanced material company. But like most of the things that we do are really on the cutting edge of alloys, cutting edge of powders and alloys that go into the nanospace. So we are really genuinely a core technology and manufacturing company. If you look at our revenue exposure, one-third industrial, one-third is what we call defense and first responders. So industrial, very tied to ISM. Defense first responders, very much tied to U.S. defense spending. And then transportation, which is a mixture of aerospace and automotive. And we have a tiny bit of healthcare. We like that a lot because good margin and it's going to get us good growth in the future. From revenue perspective, you can see the bottom chart and you'll see that we have a lot of room to grow outside North America, outside U.S. and Europe. We do very little. A lot of global growth opportunity. Revenue of right about 500. Market cap, fortunately, is outdated. Right now, we are close to 700 million or so. So I can't keep up by changing PowerPoint often enough, but that's a good problem to have. We report ourselves into two segments, electron segments and gas cylinder. I like to call, revenue-wise, they're both about the equal. Electron, we make a lot of money, and gas cylinders, we generate a lot of revenue. That's kind of the two ways to look at it. Let me get into the products. I'm a manufacturing guy. You know, chemical engineer by background, got a master's in advanced materials, so that's what attracted me here. Aluminum cylinders on the left-hand side, that's a large portion of cylinder business. Very commoditized, but we are the market leader there. We have 40% market share in a pretty fragmented business. Next one, composite. The biggest application is self-contained breathing apparatus, SCBA. MSA, who's here, one of our large customers there. Scott's, Draeger, those would be the other customers. You know, we have good market share in a concentrated industry. Good profitability there, too. Alternate fuel, we are number two in the market behind, somebody like Agility, Hexagon. But it's been growing well. We are gaining share. We lost a lot of share in this business a few years ago, and now we are in the path of recovery, both from share perspective and also good tailwinds when oil is 60 to 70 and above. We get good market tailwinds in that business. Superform has been our problem child. Starting Q3, we are now at least at break-even and moving forward. Great products, good technology. We kind of messed up pricing and lean execution and working on both of those right now. On the electron side, four product lines again. Magnesium alloys on the left-hand side. You know, that's what started... and that's where the name Electron comes from. We invented what's called Electron 21. That's a core magnesium alloy used in helicopter rotor blades, any gearboxes. These are essentially when you need really low weight but really high strength material, you would go towards a magnesium-based product. That's what we do here. Some of the new applications are in soluble magnesium, products like Solumag, and that's been driving good growth for us. Gem of a product line. We love this product line. Next one, zirconium-based chemicals. Oh, yeah, we're number one on the magnesium side. We're the only master alloy maker on the magnesium business. Zirconium-based, we are number three, maybe number four. Solvay or somebody like Solvay is number one in that market. Another business where we lost a lot of share, and for the past two quarters, we are gaining share, and the market's been good for us. Third one is Magtech. That's all military products. We make the core products behind MRE meals. So if you are in a war zone and you want heated meals, but you can't really start a fire because that'll give your location away. You put water in a bag, and you come out the heated meals. The way the water in a bag gets to heated meals is through our magnesium powders, which we make ourselves. We have 100% share in that for U.S. military and other places. Similarly, if you're flying an F-35 and you have got all sorts of fancy electronics, your largest risk is a dumb heat-seeking missile that somebody fires from a shoulder. To deflect that below a certain altitude, they throw out thousands of flares at any given time. All the magnesium powder in that flare comes from us. We got 100% share in that as well. And if you're in a Navy if the flight took off from a Navy ship, before landing, whether they use the flares or not, they have to dump all the flares in the sea because it's a fire risk. We like that because then they have to replenish it with our flares every time. So anytime people ask, is the war good for you? I said, yeah, especially if it deploys from a Navy warship versus on a base. So that's all good. And graphic arts is a cash cow. Good business, very high share. Anytime you see fancy wine bottles with specific labels that are little silvery, glittery types, you know, that are pre-printed, you know, we do very well, 100% share in those type of products. If you look at our business, we are essentially a manufacturing company. You know, I talked about complexity on product side. You know, 8 core product lines, you know, for a $500 million business, you could say it's probably too many. Similarly, on a manufacturing footprint side, this chart used to show 20 plants last year. So we took out 4 plants by consolidation and sale, and we have 16 left, probably still too many. But as we look at the path forward, the transformation journey that we are on, you know, we're talking about a 3-phase transformation. The first phase, simplification, you know, that's almost behind us. We used to be traded in New York Stock Exchange as an ADR. No real reason for that. We eliminated that at the end of 2017. At the end of this year, we'll eliminate our what's called foreign private issuer status, which means we'll become like any other boring NYSE-listed stock. We just want you to know by the fact that we make money, not based on our status. So we will file the 10-Ks, the 8-Ks, the proxies, more disclosure around our executive compensation. You will see SEC Form 3, 4, 5, all the regular things that a regular domestic issuer does. So we start doing that 1st January 2019. And, of course, we have cleaned up a lot of our internal things. We have a new cloud-based reporting system. Our financial statements are cleaner. We did a lot to simplify, just make it easy for investors to invest in Luxfer. So that ends at December 31st, and we are committed and ready for that. Phase two for us is all about, you know, the company needs and has made good progress in just better high-performance talent and culture. Because the company was really not ready to be a public company. It was always a private, the CEO was the largest shareholder. And this public company delivering results, focusing on shareholder, that's a new culture. We have made good progress, a long way to go. And as part of that, you know, we are continuing to drive more productivity. You'll see that from our numbers. And you know, growth recovery. At our peak, the company used to have $550 million in revenue. Today, even though we're at 490, I still have $50 million of lost market share that I can recover. You know, and we are working towards that. 2 core product lines, alternate fuel and the zirconium oxides, those are the 2 areas where we lost that share. Finally, the board actually hired me as a growth person. And after all the pitch and after the sign the contract, I went in and looked and I said, oh my God, the productivity opportunities are overwhelming. They overwhelm the growth opportunity. But I've always been the growth person. And that's the piece I get excited about. Because on commercial excellence, on new products, on geographical growth, you know, we have lots and lots of opportunities. And of course, we have opportunity to optimize our portfolio. You know, lots of different pieces. Some fit together, some don't. And we're going to keep working on that. So that kind of overview of our plan. Historically, I followed this chart with 4 or 5 bullet points or description. Today, I thought I'll just show you what they are delivering. So these are our results for the past few quarters. You will see on the revenue side, you know, we have got double-digit growth for the past few quarters. On EBITDA side, again, the same thing. I know we have got, you know, good growth from both revenue and EBITDA. I'm not going to talk about share price because that's just a result of how we are doing here. I don't control that. I control the revenue and EBITDA. But as you people who follow share price, you know, I told the board I'd double the share price in 5 years, and now they're saying, what are you going to do for me for the rest of the 4 years? So there's been some discussions on that. But, you know, good results, all following the transformation plan. We are sticking to that plan. Another thing I'm quite proud of it is that we are converting all of that into cash as well. You know, so if you look at our cash position, we paid down $22 million in debt. So, of course, we pay taxes, we pay interest, we put into our pension deficit. But we got the debt down by $22 million over the past year, so just cash. On a free cash flow, what we call operating cash flow, you know, working capital is lower despite the revenue being significantly higher. Again, good, like, you know, effort by the team, good results. Net cash flow before financing in the quarter more than doubled, while EBITDA went up by 20-30%. So just good results overall, and we are converting it to cash. Paid down a big portion of our private placement this year, so that's helping our interest rate, and ROIC is up as well. So, yeah, good results overall. Where do we go from here? That's typically a question I get, you know. Listen, we are in a not double-digit growth business forever. You know, we've had some good tailwinds, but I fully expect us to be a GDP plus type business going forward. The two segments that are in, and if I was still an ex-McKinsey consultant, I would talk about this as, you know, electrons are going to grow a little faster, cylinders will be a little bit slower, but we are a GDP plus type business overall. And I think that's going to continue. We have some good tailwinds from new products like Solumag, but we have some headwinds from disaster relief because you're not going to have as many hurricanes that you had in 2017 anytime soon. So we look at as growth is going to slow down from revenue perspective. But from a cost out perspective, we were committed to $20 million in cost out. We still are. We delivered six of that in 18, so I got another $14 million in cost out still to go over the next 2 to 3 years. So that continues. And that's driving where I put my capital allocation priorities right now. Our first priority in capital allocation remains fueling and delivering that cost out, because I get an average of about a two-year payback. So to get $20 million in cost savings, I need $40 million in cash. In the next few years, I'm going to spend that cash to get the remaining part of the cost savings. And we are doing well. We're actually ahead of schedule, as you saw, because in 18, originally I talked about somewhere in the range of $3 to $4 million, maybe five, and we are going to get to $6 million in cost savings this year. So we are in a pretty good spot with that. Next for that will be deliver more organic growth. We have lots of new projects. We have cleaned up some of the old legacy funnel. I look at my maintenance capital as 12, and the remaining 8 probably will, in future, go more towards growth and productivity and organic growth. And of course, you know, I think acquisitions, I mean, we are in a space that is very unique. It's advanced material. We make some really difficult products. We have some great expertise. We are below the BASF Solvays of the world, and we are above the Ma and Pa generational thing. So lots and lots of Ma and Pa companies want to sell into a company like us, as their grandchildren don't want to take over the business. And we have other opportunities that are on the larger size. So we continue to work on a funnel of opportunities for M&A. So good content. At the end of the day, what I'm looking at and why I joined and what we want to do, if you want to create a billion-plus company, modeled around things like the Danaher Business System. So this is our version of that, what we call the Luxfor Best. You know, it starts with Lean. You know, I learned Lean a few years ago and I've always been a fan. And we are a very manufacturing company. Most of the investors, when they call, when they say, can I go to one of your plants, I cringe. So, you know, where they're really not lean. I mean, we made good progress. Past 12 months have been good. But we got a long way to go. You know, lean plants used to run in the past. You ka-ching, deliver 3% net productivity every year. We are nowhere close to that, but we have the potential. So centered around lean, centered around culture, centered around just more standardization. I have 19 factories earlier, 16 now, which means I had 19 accounting systems and 19 ERP systems. I need one, right? I mean, I don't need the other 18. So we are working towards that, and that's a significant opportunity for us to continue cutting down G&A. And looking at accountability, monthly reviews, getting to scorecard, that's what essentially we want to build as a platform. We want this to be a platform for growth for us. On a summary basis, things are going well. It's solid execution, good strategy, we are sticking to that. 2018, we expect right now our earnings per share to be 165. which means our Q4 will be quite, like, you know, slow. And we expect that based on seasonality. It's always been slow. And we are pulling in some expenses so there'd be a better position for next year. And, like, you know, we are maintaining that going forward, you know, we want our earnings per share to grow 8 to 10% every year. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we are targeting. And we have shown one thing this year, that we are really poor at giving EPS guidance. So we'll probably reduce emphasis. Every time we have delivered a quarter, we have, you know, beaten our EPS guidance. So we just reduce emphasis on EPS guidance going forward and talk about 8 to 10% is where we are. Assuming the economy holds, you know, that's obviously a core assumption behind it. At the end of the day, you know, we think the core four reason why somebody wants to invest in Luxfer, and I personally have, you know, we're in a great space with very attractive end markets, highly engineered advanced material. We are early still, despite our results so far, we are very early in our transformation plan. You know, we simply finished one phase. We still have two other phases to go. Majority of the productivity is still ahead of us. Majority of the growth is still ahead of us. You know, we still have a very strong balance sheet. You know, our debt to EBITDA ratio at this point is less than one. Pension deficit is down a lot. You know, we still have, like, you know, lots of opportunities from that perspective. And I see significant runway to create value through better capital deployment, through growth, through productivity. And we will always be in the mode of continuous improvement. The two things that are going to drive the company forward is innovation, because that's what we are known for, and continuous improvement in everything else. That, I'll stop and take any questions you may have.
Hey, look, maybe just to start, from an organic growth perspective, maybe pick one or two of the opportunities that you think are most exciting.
Sure. I think the soluble magnesium, which we talked about, the oil and gas application, that's clearly going well and still very exciting. What I also find exciting is other applications of that, like in the medical area. You know, I mean, historically, if you go get a surgery and they put an implant in your body, even a wrist or something else, they got to do a surgery again 3 years later to remove it, or sometimes 6 months later, depending on what you got. If you had that as a soluble magnesium metal, you wouldn't have to go back and remove it. That's what the same application we use in oil well. Now, this is a 3-5 year process for new products, but there are many such applications we are working on, so quite excited about that. I have to mention share gain. I talked about $50 million in share that we lost over the past 5 years. It'll probably take me at least 5 years to get that back, but we will. So that continues on the thing. And finally, on the cylinder side, very excited about a new product that's called Eclipse. It's new for the SCBA market. Folks like MSA and Scott are quite excited about it. And I think that allows us to go beyond our core markets, get into things like aircraft chutes. You know, every aircraft today has to have little cylinders on which their compressed gas or emergency chutes can deploy. But those are pretty heavy. Eclipse will make that weight come down significantly. So there are lots of those niche applications that Eclipse opens up for us. So those are three I'm very excited about. Yeah? A little bit. Not a whole lot in terms of, we have agreements with the pension trustee. Our previous CEO is now the chair of the pension trustee, so we have a very friendly relation. And these are all UK, so to clarify, you already know that. If I wanted to go sell half my business today, yeah, I'll have to put a significant cash contribution in the pension. But beyond that, it really doesn't constrain us in any other way. But the biggest thing would be if we decide to sell, or if somebody wants to buy our business and lever it up 5 times, then that would be a problem. But if somebody leverages 1 to 2 times, we are good. So it's just that we got to be, whatever we do, we got to make sure we can't really compromise the pension fund, which is well funded. You know, we have $250 million in cash sitting in that, and our liabilities are about 270, 280 in that range. So among the broader scheme of how other UK pension funds are, we're actually in pretty good shape. Less than 10-15% is the deficit today.
Comment, Alok, on raw materials, inflation, what you're seeing, how you're managing that from a perspective.
We are facing inflation, not just raw material. Labor has been inflationary. That's one reason, actually, I believe my productivity numbers could have been higher, because a lot of the lean work we are doing is getting offset by labor inflation. On material side, aluminum has been very inflationary for us. Fortunately, it's stabilized. We do have decent pricing contracts, so we go look at price adjustments or riders based on LME prices. So currently, we are at parity on pricing versus raw material inflation, and we plan to maintain that. You know, recently, magnesium has been inflationary for us. So anything that gets into the tariff list, our net impact is it becomes inflationary for us in U.S. But we offset it with pricing, and we've been pretty good. On the flip side, where it helps us is, because we are a U.S. manufacturer, anybody who's trying to import finished products with that, they get hit harder. So it does benefit us from a long-term tailwind perspective. So while we believe in free trade, some of these things hit us in inflation, but they help us in revenue and growth. That's how we look at material. But inflation is a big concern going into 19. Most of our product lines are doing price increases now for 19 to offset, especially magnesium and aluminum. Carbon fiber, too. Lots of inflation.
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you.